Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. The U.S. Congress back in session today with the Western death toll to international terrorism climbing. Friday night's attacks in Paris were the deadliest in France since World War II and the second deadliest in modern Europe after the Spain train bombing back in 2004. Congressmen and women returned to Capitol Hill after a week working in their districts, hearing about local issues. So now as they go back to Washington, no doubt their attention turns toward national security in light of the Paris attacks. Global terrorism could rise to the top of the agenda as South Florida's congressional delegation rejoined their colleagues and a new Speaker of the House. Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan was sworn in as the new Speaker less than 3 weeks ago. He was elected by his fellow Republicans after years of tension between moderate and more conservative members of the party. At his swearing-in ceremony, he acknowledged the gridlock and partisanship that's been playing out in the House.
The House is broken. We're not solving problems. We're adding to them. And I am not interested in laying blame. We are not settling scores. We are wiping the slate clean.
The new speaker presided over the House agreeing to a new highway transportation spending bill and a new two-year budget deal with the White House. That agreement, though, was negotiated by the former speaker, John Boehner.
Well, you know, I don't think you can measure the last 2 weeks to use as a barometer for things to come.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the highest profile member of the Florida congressional delegation. She represents Southern Broward County and is the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. We spoke with her before the terrorist attacks in Paris.
You know, I certainly have respect for Paul Ryan, for Paul Ryan's intellect. He's a very smart guy, but you know, Paul Ryan has some pretty disturbing views. It's part of the reason he's not vice president of the United States today.
She's referring, of course, to Paul Ryan's candidacy as the Republican VP candidate back in 2012, running with Mitt Romney. Now, the terrorist attacks in Paris, of course, renews the national security debate, even as Congress has a December 11th deadline to fund the federal government or risk a shutdown. On Saturday, Wasserman Schultz released a statement that said, in part, quote, "I will be focused on what increased role Congress can play in supporting President Obama and our allies in stopping ISIS and terrorist networks worldwide and making the long-term investments necessary to disrupt terrorism and extreme violence," end quote. Now, any role Congress plays comes as few Americans actually like the job that Congress has been doing. Its approval rating has not been over 20% in 3 years.
I think there are very few people that are brighter, that are more knowledgeable, that are more in tune to what is going on in the country than Speaker Paul Ryan.
That's South Florida Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart. We spoke with him before the Paris attacks as well.
He's an individual who has the pulse of the country and also knows how to get things done and knows how to move legislation forward. And he's probably the number one expert, whether it's on trade issues or on issues of taxation. He's probably the number one expert in the entire country.
Not surprisingly, Congressman Diaz-Balart's view of the new Speaker of the House, much different than that of his South Florida colleague, Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz.
I think that Paul Ryan has some troubling views. I'm going to be hopeful that he's going to have an inclusive process that will allow us to try to get some things done. But right before we left for the recess, he doubled down and said that he was going to continue what's known as the Hastert rule, where they're going to bring legislation to the floor only when it has a majority of the majority, which is means that they're only going to try to pass things with Republican votes, and Democrats don't matter.
Republicans, of course, hold the majority on Capitol Hill and within the Florida congressional delegation. But it's Democrats who have the majority of seats representing South Florida.
Well, we all like to be optimistic.
That's Lois Frankel, one of the newest members of the South Florida congressional delegation. She's in her first term representing coastal Broward and Palm Beach counties. We spoke with her last week before the Paris terrorism attacks.
I do think, though, that this, and I know the speaker is very enthusiastic, but he does bring in my opinion, a narrow point of view.
Both Congresswomen Frankel and Wasserman Schultz mentioned Speaker Ryan invoking what's called the Hastert rule. You heard Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz mention it. It's named after the now disgraced former Republican Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert. The rule is for a speaker to call for a vote on legislation that has a majority support of the majority, in this case, Republicans. So if not enough Republicans support a bill, it wouldn't be put to a vote by the entire United States House of Representatives.
The South Florida congressional delegation is tilted Democratic. With the Republican with the Republican majority in the House and with the new speaker and this 1 week or 2 weeks under his belt, can you expect any change in the leadership that the South Florida Democratic delegation can exert on Capitol Hill?
Well, our entire delegation, I mean, both our, I would not put our Republican members from our delegation into the extreme right-wing category at all. They have been very easy to work with. We do have some, you know, strong differences on certain issues, but I would put them much more in the reasonable category, and I think they would say that our South Florida delegation gets along very well. And we do try to find common ground on issues that are especially that are important to our communities, and we try to work together.
It's a sentiment expressed by one of those Republican members we spoke with too, Congressman Diaz-Balart.
I think one of the untold stories, by the way, is that, and it's unusual in Congress, is that the South Florida delegation, congressional delegation, actually works very closely together and works very well together. We have our partisan differences and we have our battles. But particularly when it's issues that relate to Florida, Southern Florida, or Florida in any way, we usually find a way to get together to put our differences aside and to find common ground.
He points to federal spending on Everglades restoration and money for dredging for Port Everglades and Fort Lauderdale.
The South Florida delegation, despite our partisan differences, put those differences aside in many instances and work together for the good of the folks that we represent. An untold story, but I think something that has allowed us to succeed when other delegations have not.
The 114th Congress returns to session today with the new Speaker of the House. National security likely dominates now the agenda in the weeks and months ahead, but the immediate issue for South Florida's lawmakers, and all of Capitol Hill for that matter, is a budget deal before the federal government funding is due to expire December 11th. Still to come on our program, asking for federal help to help fight back the seas.
As we do our plan, it's not going to be too long before the dollar sign will raise its ugly head and people are going to say, wow, we're looking at billions of dollars worth of infrastructure here.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. We are monitoring the situation in Paris today as investigators piece together what led up to Friday night's multiple terrorist attacks, as well as the mourning of the victims. If there is breaking news, we'll bring it to you here on WLRN. Last month, the clerk of courts in Miami-Dade, Harvey Rubin, sent a letter to members of the South Florida congressional delegation. Rubin also happens to chair the county's sea level rise task force. Now, in this letter, he proposed creating a national fund to help pay to adapt and fight back against higher seas.
As we do our plan, it's not going to be too long before the dollar sign will raise its ugly head and people are going to say, wow, we're looking at billions of dollars worth of infrastructure.
That's Rubin on last week's Florida Roundup. He proposed to South Florida's congresspeople a federal resiliency superfund. A fund to mix local, state, and federal dollars to get local communities ready for what he calls, quote, the non-debatable, potentially devastating eventuality of sea level rise, end quote.
So I've called for the federal government to create a resiliency partnership fund, if you would, so that they can partner with local governments like Dade County, Miami-Dade County, that are on the forefront of building and devising adaptation planning.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's an idea that's in its infancy, and it's certainly intriguing, something that I'm certainly willing to explore.
That's Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. None of the three South Florida congresspeople, two Democrats and one Republican, that we spoke to about this federal resiliency fund idea outright endorsed it.
We do need local, state, and federal solutions to this. This is not a small problem.
The idea, though, does get high marks from members of the delegation for its creativity.
I think what Mr. Rubin is looking at is something that is a lot more meritorious. We obviously have to look at the price tag, at you know where the money's going to come from.
Yes, the money. There's no real price tag on wholesale adaptations for local communities. It would easily be in the dozens of billions of dollars, probably more. Money spent on raising roads, building seawalls, maybe carving more canals, shoring up our fresh water supply under our homes and roads. There's no debate that it would take huge amounts of money. But who pays, how much, and for what are the details that are missing? Again, Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart.
Do you agree with the clerk of courts that sea level rise deserves federal attention, federal dollars potentially?
Look, I'm not a scientist, but there seems to be a relatively consistent opinion that sea level rise is a potential problem. You have to balance that out with all of the other fiscal necessities that we have. But again, what I think is important is that I will tell you that I have been against a lot of the other proposals out there in the past because they didn't even address the issue at all. They didn't address it. They weren't solutions for the problem. This, at least, is something that I think is different. It's potentially innovative. And there seems to be a pretty strong opinion that sea level rise is potentially going to be an issue. And I don't think it makes any sense to disregard what could be potential problems in the future. Again, we do that does have to compete with all the other issues that we have. And in South Florida, I'm telling you anything that is not very obvious. We have serious challenges with infrastructure, with transportation, with transit, with roads, et cetera. All of this is competing for the same dollars, but I think it's a conversation that needs to take place.
And Congressman, just a point of clarity: when you discuss that sea level rise is an area of concern, is that an area of concern that you share?
It is an area of concern which I think we all have to take very, very seriously. Absolutely. I will tell you that if you ask me right now if the top 10 issues that we need to deal with this year, as far as, with taxpayer money, I would tell you that is not in my top 10 issues. But I don't think that we should disregard anything that potentially could be a problem in the future. So I, for one, am not one who runs away from complicated issues. Look, if I am told now by a group of qualified people that we have a threat potentially coming, you better believe that I'm going to take that seriously, and I do. But it does compete for the same tax dollars, limited tax dollars, that everything else does, including our infrastructure, including our national defense, etc. So I think it is an issue that it's a conversation that needs to be taken seriously. I would argue, however, that right now we also have a lot of other issues that are equally, if not more, pressing.
In the competition for public policy attention, there is bipartisan agreement in South Florida's congressional delegation that sea level rise is not a top topic of concern. Democrat Lois Frankel also says jobs and the economy top the concerns her constituents have along the coast in Broward and Palm Beach counties, not climate threat.
Sometimes it's hard to get them to pay attention when you see when people are out of work or they're working hard, not making enough money, or your Medicare premiums go up, or you see ISIS cutting people's heads off, and these are all here and now problems, and that's what the clamor is about. That, with the combination of more than half of the United States Congress, and I guarantee you the Florida State Legislature, are people who are denying this is even happening. It may require some hard decisions of local governments if you want to protect the coastline. I mean, we're pretty built out in South Florida, but many of the properties that you see in South Florida in 30 years from now, they're going to be, I would say, things of the past.
Congresswoman Lois Frankel. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.